Hi, darling.
Lizzie, darling.
There's your lovely voice.
How are you?
Great, man. I'm just, you know, doing the same thing I always do. Getting ready to get out on the road again.
I miss you guys so much, man. It's been a long time.
I know it has been. Have you been good?
I've been good, yes. Very, very good. So congrats on another banging record.
Oh, thank you.
If you go back like 10, 15 years ago, back to just, you know, like the club days, I don't know if you ever thought you'd be looking at, you know, four records deep with Atlantic Records, a couple of Grammys. I mean, could you have ever imagined all this?
No, honestly. And it's so funny because there's such a difference. Little Bro and I have been talking about that a lot. You know, we've been going back to, you know, going down memory lane, you know, a lot these days. And there's such a big difference between, like, believing in yourself and knowing you can keep it going and then things actually happening, you know, for your band. Like, it's crazy. Like, we talk about this all the time. Like, we're literally the definition of living the dream. I'm doing the one thing that I want to do every day with the people that I love, traveling the world. It's a good thing, man. It's crazy. And I remember, and it's so funny because, like, with Little Bro and I, because it's the same kind of, like, relationship and contract that we had when we were, like, 13 and 10.
Right.
I remember having, like, one gig. There was one gig this month, guys, you know? And we're, like, in the family van, and we're going to this club, maybe to play for, like, five people and the sound guy,
right,
you know? And little bro turns to me in the family van. And he's like, "Hey, where do you think all these other people are going?" And I'm like, "Oh, I don't know, man. One guy's going to work, I'm sure, school." And he's like, "Yeah, but we're going to a gig." I'm like, "Yeah, you know what? You're right, little bro. Yeah, we are." And then it's still the same thing. It's like, we're going to go on tour. We have a gig. We're going to do a rock show. And it's just crazy to, like, still be doing that. We say that a lot. But, like, can you believe, like, this is, like, our normal life. This is our life. This is what we do. It's
right.
So cool.
And now you make money and it feeds you. It's a wonderful thing.
I know we get fed to the point that, okay, new problems, Jackson. So
yeah.
I was home for like 10 days in between. We had 6 weeks out in Europe. And then in between then and now, you know, we had like 10 days off. Man, just making a decision as to what you're going to have for dinner has become completely impossible because it's like you're just kind of used to, okay, well, I just roll with whatever's available,
yeah,
in whatever town or whatever catering, you know. And so now it's just like, man, I got to cook dinner. What am I going to cook? And there's all the options. It's impossible. I'm like, where's catering?
You got to go with the standby. The standby is mac and cheese. It's always good.
Oh, absolutely. Mac and cheese or what we've been calling emergency pizza, which is like a frozen DiGiorno that who knows how many years it's been in the
future. Right, right, right.
You know?
Well, we, of course, always knew you had it. We're so proud of you here in the state of Pennsylvania. You know, going back to those club stages, you know, we all used to stand there and watch you guys and go, they're so much bigger than this. This is going somewhere. And look at this, huh? It's pretty awesome. Let's talk about sex, Lizzie.
All right. Yes, sir.
I like sex. Lizzie likes sex. Lizzie sings about sex. That makes some people uncomfortable, doesn't it?
It does sometimes, yes.
Yeah. But you're very open in your songwriting. You're very open. I really admire the way that you interact with your fans on social media. You know, that's pretty cool if you're thinking of, you know, some 13-year-old girl sitting in her bedroom and she's a huge Hailstorm fan and she tweets at you and you respond. I mean, you know what that means to her? That's big.
I remember sending, I used to send letters, especially after we started the band, to like all my favorite bands, like whatever. I would search the back when there were message boards and... You know, just finding some, like, you know, either a fan club email or something. I would send, you know, letters and emails to, like, just, hey, man, you know, I'm such a big fan of your music and I'm in a band too and blah, blah, blah. And the hustle was real and nobody ever responded.
Yeah,
I never got one response. And I know what it would have felt like when I was, you know, admiring these people growing up. And if somebody actually, like, wrote me back, I'd be like freaking out. So yeah, no, it's a cool thing. And you know, I like being open and it's so much easier. I know it's hard to be yourself sometimes, but
yeah,
it's so much easier once you get past that, you know, that block, you know, where you're like feeling insecure about yourself, just own it. And so like, for me, I have such a better time just owning who I am. And whether that means, you know, like you were saying before, you know, talking about sex, you know, or something personal going on with me, or just kind of being you know, just ears that are listening to somebody else talk. You know, it's just so much easier to be like that than to try to live behind this facade and, I need to keep the mystery out there. Like, you don't really need to, you know, just be you and do your thing. And it's weird because since I started pretty much just kind of putting everything out there, including, you know, the talking about sex, actually, like, not just through songs, but to people about it, I've gotten the most amazing letters from parents telling me I'm a great role model and, you know, thank you for owning it and empowering my daughter to think about, you know, whatever she needs to think about and to, you know, own her own sexuality or her body or whatever it is that we're talking about. And to me, I was taken aback by that because you would think that I would get more, you know, quote unquote, hate mail from you know, because, you need to be a good role. Yeah. I'm trying to be a good role model, but I am human, and I'm going to make the occasional, 4 a.m. tweet that I probably shouldn't have done, but, you know, that's coming. It's not about if, it's when, but, but, you know, until then, it's neat. You know, I'm in a position where people are actually, for better or worse, listening to what I have to say, and I want to put out that positivity. I have the opportunity, and so I do what I can.
Well, as long as we're being honest, it's probably a good time to reveal to the world that Do Not Disturb was actually written about you, me, and my wife.
You know what? I was hoping you would bring that up.
Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted to tell anybody or...
Because I feel like it's time for the world to know the truth. Yes.
No, I'm boring. I was probably at home with a bottle of wine and, watching Game of Thrones while you were in bliss.
Hey, that sounds great, too.
I think Sarah has a question.
I wanted to... It's not really a question. I just wanted to bring this up because I'm not sure if you ever realized it on the topic of you being so open with your sexuality. You're bisexual. You've never been shy about saying it. And that song, Do Not Disturb, is about that a little bit. And I read that you didn't really have a coming out story, quote unquote. You just kind of said it in conversation on Twitter and then realized, oh, I've never said that to anybody before. I guess it's out there now.
Yeah.
And I realized, I connected today, that Rob Halford is kind of the same way. He came out, I think it was on MTV in an interview, but he didn't really mean to. He just sort of said it like, as a gay man, blah, blah, blah. And everyone was like, holy crap, he just said that. So
that's crazy.
I just drew that parallel today and I thought it was really cool. And speaks to how comfortable you are with sharing yourself.
Well, you know what's interesting? That actually makes me feel really good to hear that story. I never knew that story because it's funny you bring that up. I was talking about that with a friend of mine because she came out to her family like when she was a kid, and she was like, she was wondering like when did everybody kind of know? And I'm like, you know what? I just kind of figured everybody always, I never really had the like, okay, let's have a sit down. And after I had that conversation, I'm like, man, I wonder if like that was the wrong way to do that. You know, was there like rules to this? So to hear that, that happened to Rob Halford, that's amazing. That's awesome.
Tell us a story. Maybe it was in Rolling Stone. I was reading about the making of this record and how you had a ton of songs written, but you just weren't satisfied. You felt like you were trying to please like everyone else and not yourself, and went into the studio and actually threw all those songs away and started from scratch, like in the recording process.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
So- yeah, we had already had start dates, you know, booked. And right before we were, you know, literally, you know, right before we went into the studio, just kind of trashed a bunch of things. You know, we were all sitting down and like listening to everything, you know, as a band, as we do. And there wasn't any excitement to it. You could almost hear, like from song to song, like, okay, we're definitely doing this for, you know, as a grab at radio, you know, here's some quasi crossover thing to make the label happy. You know, here's I Miss the Misery times two. Here's I Get Off times two. Here's this times, you know, it's like, it just felt like everything that we had always done before. And, you know, and to the point that even our A&R guy, you know, after a little while, he's like, you know what, look, I already know all this stuff about you. Like, you know, what don't I know? And so, you know, kind of from that, you know, and talking to the bandmates and everybody, and, you know, okay, look, let's just start again. So it was really scary, actually, at first, because you spend, I go 110 with everything. So, like, I want to finish everything, even if it's a, you know, even if it's not, like, a promising idea, I still kind of finish the song or finish the idea. That's just something that I like to do. So it was tough to, like, just be like, okay, I've worked so hard on all of these songs to, like, you know, make them into great demos, and like there's a hook and there's this, and getting all songwritery on everything. And it's tough to throw all those things away. You start questioning, you know, your validity as a songwriter, and And, you know, do I even like deserve to be here? You know, like what am I doing? You know, do I even have it? Do I still got it? You know, where is that, like, that thing that's always driving that forward? Where's the excitement? And so we went in the studio and I kind of admitted to our producer, I'm like, look, I don't have like a lot of finished things, you know, like I have a lot of ideas that I'm starting, but I kind of threw away all the things that I was banking on showing you. And so he's like, well, let's listen to some of them. And then he agreed with me too. He's like, yeah, no, that's not the record I want to make with you. I'm like, all right, cool. Where do we start? He's like, well, let's plug in like you would in your parents' basement. So basically that's what we did. We set up all of our equipment and we plugged in, and he's like, all right, who's got a riff? Who's got an idea? And so like, I think like Joe had something. And so we're like, all right, let's run with that. And we were literally like recording as we were writing and writing as we were going. And every day we would come in with something new, like, okay, who's got another idea? And from that, like, I went back into archives and a lot of the time I would just be like, all right, I'm not even going to think about anything that I had done before. I'm just going to write something today, like that's not inspired by any of my other notebooks or anything. So, there's a lot of like truth to this journey and a lot of the things that I talk about on the record, including the, you know, the ownership, like in Uncomfortable, or the sex in Do Not Disturb, or the survival in Black Vultures and all that. Those were all very real questions that I was asking myself throughout this process. So, so I think that for the first time on a, you know, major release that we've done, there's just, instead of me trying to flower up my truth and like make it universal, I just kind of kept it, you know, in my area. So that's, I think, the biggest difference on this record. But it was fun when we got it done. We're like, all right, we came out swinging on the other side. Woo, mama still got it.
Yeah, right. Probably just figured out the key to taking all that pressure off, because I can't imagine. I bet a lot of people think, oh, you made it. You're playing big shows now. You're selling, you know, hundreds of thousands of records. Life must be grand. But, you know, this is still your job. This is still what you do. It's still what you love. And to have that pressure hanging over you every day, like, what are we going to do next? But it sounds to me like when you decided to just be you, then everything worked out, instead of trying to please others, I guess.
It's crazy how that happens too. And this is, again, like the biggest lesson that we all learned. I mean, we found this renewed respect, you know, as each other, as bandmates, and also this great respect for what we do. And also on a personal level, how we use music, you know, personally, like, as in, like, you can get lost in it all and be like, oh yeah, no, I have this musical career now, and it's no longer like that thing that I needed when I was a teenager, you know, like, whereas I needed that outlet and I needed that. And then you realize that, you know, now I'm 35, I still need music in that same way that I did when I was a teenager, you know? And so just to be reintroduced to that was really special. And we also kind of learned to trust ourselves too, because we came out on the other side with something that we're really proud of, and like, oh, cool, all right, so maybe like following our gut and what gets us excited is maybe what got us into this in the first place, and maybe we should trust it. So
I know you're a big fan of Ronnie James Dio, so I gotta ask you about the Hologram tour. A fan, would you go? Would you see it?
You know, man, all of my friends are split down the middle with this, because they're, you know, at the tried and true person, you know, in me is like, ah, screw this Hologram, like, it's just fake Dio. But at the same time, you know, to introduce his music to a whole new generation and an audience, and maybe people get to experience, you know, that, you know, the gift that he bestowed on the world, you know, that didn't get to see him when he was alive. So that's kind of cool too. So like, to me, like, that's, I think I would err on the side of, as long as, you know, his family is cool with it and his wife thinks that it's something that Ronnie would have wanted, then cool, I'm down with it.
No, and you made a really good point. I didn't even think about that. Introducing his music to a whole new generation of people that might not have listened to him before, similar to what the Queen movie is doing now. You've got a whole new generation of Queen fans. That Queen is brand new to them.
Absolutely. Have you seen that yet? Is it out?
Oh my God, have you seen it yet?
No, I still haven't seen it. I just saw the last. Yeah, no, I saw an advertisement for it. I'm like, damn it, I need to go see it.
So, you do. It is so good. And I got to tell you, for like six straight days after watching it, all I listened to was Queen.
Awesome.
I had the earworm thing with Bohemian Rhapsody, like going through my head in my sleep. Oh, it was going through my head when I woke up. It was going through my head when I went to bed. And then. this, you'll
he's
like
just,
this.
He's just going to sleep like, Mamma Mia.
Yes, yes. And then this morning, I was listening to some Hailstorm, and of course I listened to Do Not Disturb, and now that's my new earworm, and now it won't leave.
Oh, well, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you for that. So you got the big show coming up in Camden this Saturday with In This Moment and New Year's Day, and I wanted to talk about briefly, just to kind of wrap things up here, the fact that there are so many female rock fans now. That's pretty amazing. I was talking to, of course, we just did a show with Metallica, and I was talking to Lars backstage before the show, and one of the things we were talking about was the fact that, you know, when he was younger, he'd go out and he's like, you know, 80-90% of the audience was male. He's like, that was our fan base. He's like, now I go out, it's 50-50. So that's got to be pretty cool, going out with a bunch of female fronted bands and then seeing so many female hard rock fans, which, you know, back in the day was not really the case.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny, after we finished making the record and got back out on tour again, it felt like it changed overnight, to the fact that, like, not just on this tour with In This Moment and New Year's Day, but in Europe over the past 6 weeks, and all around the country, just on our own shows, it's 60-40 female to male. And I've been telling my single male friends that, like, if they want to find a crazy chick, come out to a show, because the odds are much better than going to the bar at this point. But no, it's amazing. It's great, and it's funny because, like, this is actually something that Josh and Joe have been talking about a lot to me, because from their perspective as being, you know, the guys in the band, they're like, look, you know, we're still doing the same thing. It's still the same heavy moments in hard rock music, but you're seeing these girls in the audience, like, owning it. Like, this is their show. They're not, like, it's not like, oh, I'm here with my boyfriend, right, which is usually the case. You know, it's like a lot of dudes, and, oh, my boyfriend drugged me out here, you know, and now I'm a fan, and now it's great. But it's great to, like, just see these girls that are like, oh, no, this is my show. I'm coming to this show. I need this. I primarily need this. This is not just, like, entertainment when I'm off Instagram. This is just, it's incredible to watch. It really is. And I didn't realize, speaking of this tour, you know, and I've talked about this to Maria and to Ash Costello. We've been friends for years and have always wanted to do something together, but we didn't realize how important it was for us to be doing this until we got out there and did it. And so you got this, like, three different, you know, versions of women. You have, like, us, who have kind of been carving out our own paths for years and are able to kind of be kind of host to the party and be like, hey, you know, like, we're chicks, and don't ever let anyone tell you can't be something, because obviously we're doing what we love every single day because we fought for it. And then you have the girls in the audience that are like, you see the ones that are just beginning to get it. They're like, oh yeah, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. This is our North Star. And then you have the girls that are like, hell yeah, I already know this, and I've been waiting to, like, express right. this yeah. in a crowd of people. So it's just amazing.
It's awesome. It must be awesome to have that support, you know, around you on the road. And I know Hailstorm is a band that all you guys are really, really tight and have got something super special there. So we're honored to know you. And, of course, the state of Pennsylvania is so proud that you guys came from here. And we really look forward to the show this weekend, Lizzie. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Oh, anytime. And I'll tell you what, you know, Pennsylvania, she sticks with you. You know, and you can take, and it, to the point, let me tell you just one more quick thing. So when we're in the studio, I've been living in Nashville, Tennessee for like 6 years now, and I've traveled the world. You would think that my accent would have gone away, but we're in the studio, and my producer, one of the things is that your Pennsylvania Dutch is showing, because apparently when I'm singing, there are still certain lines that will come out as pure Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I can't get rid of me. And thank you so much, Jackson. I mean, you know how much you mean to me and the entire family at MMR. And just thank you so much for sticking with us as well and just being a part of this whole journey that we've been on. You guys are the best.
You're awesome. You're quite welcome. All right. Thank you, Lizzie. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you, sweetie. You too.